This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. بعد، قال المؤلف رحمه الله، نعم، go ahead.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى
This is حديث number 12.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وقع الذباب في شراب أحدكم فليغمس ثم لينزعه فإن في أحد جناحيه داء وفي الآخر شفاء. أخرجه البخاري وأبو داود وزاد وإنه يتقي بجناحيه الذي فيه الداء
بجناحه الذي فيه الداء.
Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, When a fly falls in the drink of one of you, he should fully dip it and then throw it away. Because there is a disease in one of its wings and cure in the other. Reported by al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood, who added, It, the fly, protects itself with the diseased wing by dipping it first in a drink.
When he says Abu Dawood added, it doesn't mean that Abu Dawood himself added this from his own. And it means the narration that Abu Dawood have in his book has this addition. And this addition, it is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But sometimes the narrator will narrate the hadith shorter than others. Some of them will narrate it shorter than others because they feel it's obvious or it's the same meaning, so I don't need to narrate the whole thing. So they will make it shorter than the other. This hadith, very famous, ma'rub bi'innu hadith al-dhubab. إذا وقع الذباب في شراب أحدكم. الذباب, the fly, and it was called الذباب because anybody knows why they call it الذباب. جميل, what does الذب mean? قال لأنه ذب فأب. ذب فأب. This is two words in Arabic language. ذب يعني إيش؟ pushed away. فأب came back. واضح؟ أب يعني رجع وذب يعني pushed. Okay. So that's why you say the end of the sword ذباب السيف. The edge of the sword because it's far pushed far away in the end of the sword. So الذباب ذب فأب العرب يقولون ذُبَّ فَآبْ. ذُبَّ فَآبْ. So they put the two together, became ذُبَاب. Okay? And that means that this insect, which has always come bugging and bothering you, and originally it called the bab, but it was lightened up in pronunciation, so it became ذُبَاب. Al-Ajib, Marra, one of the rulers, the kings, was sitting, and with him Simak, one of the great scholars in Al-Kufa. So this fly keep bothering the king, and he's one of these dictators, and he keep pushing the fly. Then he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الذُّبَابِ. He cursed at الذُّبَاب. قَالَ يَا سِمَاكْ لِمَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الذُّبَابِ. He's a transgressor ruler, very well known of his oppression and transgression against his own people. So he said with full arrogance, why Allah created flies? Such a dirty, what's the benefit of flies? Why Allah created it for? What's the wisdom behind it? فَقَالْ سِمَاكْ لِيُذِلَّ اللَّهُ بِهَا أُنُوفَ الطُّغَاتِ. Allah created the flies to humiliate these dictators. What a powerful answer. So Allah will humiliate the dictators. That all of the soldiers and big guy are like arrogant, but still this fly can humiliate you, ruin your life. This hadith is a very authentic hadith as a narration. And it's in Sahih al-Bukhari and others. But some people said this hadith is weak. Why? They said because the hadith itself, the context of the hadith, it is something goes against what we know from the teaching of Islam, of being clean, you know. So they said how the Prophet ﷺ will order you to dip the fly in the water. And, you know, it's just disgusting. And Islam will never order us to do something which is disgusting. No doubt that this is logic. It's not a very strong logic for many reasons. Number one, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not order us to drink that drink. That's why in one of the narration, قَالْ فَإِنْ اشْتَاهَ شَرَبَ وَإِلَّا تَرَكَ. If you wish to drink it, drink it. But if you're going to drink it, if you're going to drink it, you cannot drink it without dipping the whole entire fly inside it. You're talking about a society and a community and circumstances. Sometimes you have very little access to water, especially in the desert. I camped in the desert before, and sometimes we, at one time, were stuck with very little amount of water to drink, or very little amount of milk at home. That's the only thing you have for your kids. And imagine a fly fall into the milk. Would you throw the whole thing and you just sleep without? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling them that if this has happened and you want to drink that, do not drinking before you dip the whole entire fly inside. Why? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it, yani the fly, protects itself with the diseased wing by dipping it first in a drink. So these wings, one of them underneath of it, a disease, and the underneath the other one, the cure. A bacteria, and the other one underneath it, the antibacterial. That's what the Prophet ﷺ basically telling us. There's a disease and the cure for it in the other one. That's why when you dip it, what happened? It releases, it's like a bubble underneath the wing or on the side of the fly. So when you dip it, the pressure will release that cure into the water. So it will not harm you. As a matter of fact, modern scholars today, they would say that this hadith, it's one of the Prophet's miracles. Because there is no way the Prophet ﷺ would have known this information from his own. You need a microscope, you need a biologist, you need a lab to be able to figure that out. And many research papers were published today by non-Muslim scholars and scientists, as well as Muslim scientists, proving the exact same the Prophet ﷺ said 1400 years ago. And one of the leading research papers that was published about maybe 20 years ago or 50 years ago, a German scientist who published basically a research paper about this, and he was shocked to know that this is something that the Prophet ﷺ talked about. And I will touch upon this in a little bit. But let's focus on what's the purpose of this hadith in this chapter. The purpose that Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah telling this hadith to tell you that the fly is not najis. It's not a najis object. It's not a najis insect. So it's not impure. So when it falls in the water, it will not turn the water to be impure, or the cup or the juice, whatever. It's not going to make it impure. Even though you might say, Sheikh, but the fly set on things which is dirty, set on impurity. The same thing we said with the cats. Okay? We said in the cat the same thing. It will not make your drink impure. Let's say you saw the fly touch your food. It doesn't mean that this food became najis, impure, I'm not allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat it. You don't need to wash it. So if it land in your throat, you didn't say it became najis, I have to wash it. You don't. So the fly itself is not najis. Not only that, the dead fly. Because if you're going to dip the fly inside the drink, it's going to die. It's not going to hold its breath. Okay? It's not going to do that. It will die. So it's a dead fly. That dead fly will not consider najis. It's not like if you find a dead cat, the cat is najis. Because it's a dead animal. But a dead fly is not najis. That led the scholar, rahimahullah, to come up with the concept. They said, I don't know if any one of you guys study biology, especially doctors here can help us a little bit. I don't know if that exists in modern science or not. They say, these insects, they don't consider them they consider them a living creature, but also it's like a special type of life. They call it, and if you want the word that is in Arabic, ليست له نفس سائلة. They said since there is no blood run inside it, it will not take the same ruling of any other animals. Because what make animals impure is that blood that run through them. Okay? When they die, the blood stuck inside the body, it basically make the body impure. Because it became like a rotten blood inside. This is just to make a simple term. That the Muslim jurists used that 1,400 years ago. So they said since there is no blood in the fly, there is no blood in insect, it will not take the same ruling of dead animals. That's why it's not considered najis. You have the Hanafis said, and some Maliki said, except these insects who will have blood from other source, like what? Mosquitoes. Like the leech. Even lice is eat your blood and drink your blood. Okay? So they said, all these are najis. For the Hanafi, that's najis. That's why if you follow that, and to be honest with you, they have a good point. So for example, if you catch your mosquito and you kill it, you should wash your hand before you go to pray. Because that blood is najasa to wash. So if there is a blood, but if there is no blood, it became like a fly. It's not najis. Is that clear? Because I know people like President Obama, he catch flies. If you guys remember, in one of the interview, he just hit the fly. You remember that? And he said, oh, I'm good. It was disgusting, but he was proud of himself. Anyway, so in one of his TV interview, very famous cat. So some people I've seen a lot, they like to hit it, catch it. So if you kill it, is what that make it najis? No, it will not make your hand or your thumb najis. Same thing goes to the bee. It's not najis. Same thing goes to scorpions. Spiders. Spiders are not najis. The same ruling goes like the fly. Same rule goes to قالوا الزنبور. What is زنبور? زنبور, which is the wasp. The wasp. Okay, the wasp is not najis. The bee is not najis. And all the different type of bees are not najis. طيب. What if a spider fall in the drink? Do you dip it? What if a bee fall in the drink? They said no. Only for a dhubab, only for the fly. Why? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it told us what's the reason. The reason is because underneath one of its sides, there is a disease, and in the other side, the cure for it. طيب. Then, is dipping it must or recommended? The majority of the fuqaha said it is recommended act. But when you know that modern science tell you, no, it's actually, it is much, it's safe and protect yourself from whatever bacteria in the other one by doing that, it will make you kind of care for it more. And you can drink the drink, or you can basically, and yuriqahu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want, you can, after you take the fly out, obviously, you can drink it or you can just leave it. This hadith, also the ulama said, shows the permissibility of killing insects, that it is harmful. Because the Nabi said, what? Dip it. He didn't say rescue it. Okay? You basically, you're going to kill it. So, some people ask me, Sheikh, can I get this, the electric shot that kills mosquitoes or flies at home? Is that allowed, to do that? Yes, it's permissible. Can I spray and kill like harmful ants and things of that nature, or spiders? It is a lot. If I see one of these bugs that like can, if it's harmful or something like will be not safe around, you can. There is, as I said, the German scholars, he's from a university called Hale. I guess that's what it is. In 1871, his name is Prevald. I don't know how to pronounce it correct or not, but that's what it says here. In 1871, he published a research paper about this, and I'm not going to go into the detail. Until another professor in 1945 even went with another research paper, Langeron or something like that. I think he's British. I'm not sure where he's from right now. But there is two British scholars, or one, a British scholars, a person by the last name Cook, and and another Swiss guy in 1950 exactly. They did the research paper 1947 to 1950. They were able to identify exactly what type of bacteria, what kind of antibacteria that it is exists. And in 1948, another group of scholars from England, they were able to identify the bacteria, and they found that fly can carry a very dangerous disease like typhoid and dysentery and other type of you know, serious diseases. In 1949, another two British scholars, two from Switzerland as well, came up with, they were able to identify the antibacteria that exist in the fly. They were able to identify that as well. Anyatine, something like that, that's if I pronounce right. And in 1947 as well, there is another research paper was published, and it's interesting. They said 1 gram of that antibacteria can protect 1,000 liter of milk that affected by the bacteria of the fly. So they found out that the antibacteria in it, just 1 gram of it, will protect 1,000 liter of milk that it exposed to that bacteria that the fly carried. Fly are very small insect. The house fly, it's about what? 4 inches length, okay? But unlike other insects, house fly has only one pair of membranous wings. And they are able to move with their wings about 200 times per second. That's why it like have this sounds when it comes next to your ear. The speed of the fly is 5 miles an hour. That's how fast they go, just in case if you're planning to race with a fly. Huh? 5 inches, the biggest they can reach. 5 inches. No, not 5 inches, a quarter inch. Quarter inch. So, huh? Fourth of inch, quarter of inch. Yeah, quarter of inch. Did I say 5? Yeah, no, quarter of inch length. Yeah. There is a very interesting thing I found about fly. House fly has red component eyes. Each eye contains 4,000 lenses. 4,000 lenses that enable visualization of different picture at the same time. Despite huge number of lenses, house fly has a very poor eyesight. With all this, that's why it's easy to catch them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them maybe that way, so easy to catch it. Relies mostly on the sense of smell, not the eyes. When it search for food, since the smell is located in their antennas. Anyway, I will move forward. By the way, they sleep at the night and they're active in the daytime, which is, I thought, is very nice. A female housefly can carry 2,500 eggs. Okay. Usually on the food they eat. So house flies, they be careful if they lay their eggs in some of the food that you eat. You need to wash it very well so you don't know. They basically survive from 30 to 60 days. My wife always thinks that house fly only stay 24 hours and they die. And she always told me that, but I found out that's not true. They actually stay from 30 to 60 days. They live their lifespan. That's considered short, taking consideration the number of multiplication that they have. So anyway, this is what we know about this hadith. And if you, there is a very interesting book. I was reading a research a chapter from a book written by a professor. His name Mahmoud Kamal. And Dr. Muhammad Abdul Manim Hussein, they have a research paper online about al-i'jaz al-ilmi, the miracle of this hadith in modern science. Very, very interesting and worth reading. The next hadith, go ahead, which is hadith Abi Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma quti'a min al-bahimati wa hiya hayya fahuwa mayyit. أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي وحسنه واللفظ له. Narrated Abu Waqid al-Laythi رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whatever portion is cut off from an animal when it's alive is dead. It's a dead meat. Reported by Abi Dawood and Tirmidhi, who graded it Hassan, acceptable or fair, and this version of Tirmidhi. This hadith, Abi Waqid al-Laythi, huwa his name al-Harith, the Harith ibn Auf, very famous companion. Most likely he witnessed the Battle of Badr. It's not true that he became Muslim in the day of conquering Mecca. Actually, many narration suggested that he witnessed the Battle of Badr. He died in 58 Hijri in Mecca. There is debate over his first name because he always known of his nickname or kunya, Abu Waqid al-Laythi, rahimahullah. And this hadith is hadith Hassan, as Imam al-Tirmidhi said, and Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, and many other scholars as well. And this hadith was reported by arba'u min as-sahaba, four companions. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Waqid al-Laythi, this one, and Ibn Umar, and Tamim al-Dari. All these companions heard the Prophet ﷺ said that and reported this hadith. The hadith Abi Waqid that we have here in this book has an addition in Musnad Imam Ahmad, very important, because it shows you the reason behind the story behind the hadith, which goes like this. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, he found in Medina people that they used to cut basically asnimatul ibil, the hump of the camel. You know, on the top of the camel's back, the hump, they will cut it. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Some people do that. They cut it off and they take it. It has a lot of fat in it, okay? And they cook it and they eat it. And also they go to ilyat al-ghanam, basically the fat which is cover the sheep's bottom in the back. While it's alive, they cut it. So they take that fat and they use it. Either they use the fat for candling, okay, or they use the fat for cooking, like you have today oil, or use the fat for whatever they use it for food and consumption, or whatever you use, okay? So they used to do that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, whatever is cut, whatever was removed from animal, when it's alive, is dead. What that means is dead. It means it's najis, it's impure. It's impure. And if you find a dead cat in the street, a dead dog in the street, hit in the highway, that's impure. That's najis. You cannot use it, you cannot touch it, you cannot take it. It's najis, it's a dead animal. Dead animals are najis, impure. So, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them that, al-bahima, he said, ma quti'a min al-bahima, whatever, translation said animal, but the Prophet used the word bahima. Bahima in Arabic language, originally, means any animal, comes from the word bahm. Al-bahm, the one who cannot express himself verbally in a correct way, in a clear way. That's why if someone who doesn't know how to speak to you or make no sense, ya akhi enta bahima, ma tafham, you can't understand, you can't communicate properly. That's why the Arab call all animals like that, because they are someone who you cannot easily communicate with, back and forth. But also, al-bahima commonly refer not to all animals. Commonly refer to the animals that you eat. So commonly used when in Arabic language, especially in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the language of the Prophet, when he said bahima, he referred to things like camels, cows, sheep. يعني ما يؤكل لحمه, not the thing that is not eatable. Is that clear? So which one is here? It means the animal that you eat or all kind of animals, what it seems to be, that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was specifically speaking about the animals that you eat, but apply to all animals. So if you cut any piece of an animal that you can eat or you're not allowed to eat, it's considered dead. Okay? Question. Just to make sure that you understand. When we say mayta, yani a dead animal which is najis, okay? A dead animal which is impure. Can you give me an example? Sisters, brothers. Give me about an impure dead animal. Just give me an example. A horse. What happened to the horse? What kind of horse? Why it's dead? Hit by a car and on the street. Okay. Type a sheep hit by the car on the street. Same thing. Okay. A sheep that I slaughter. No. That's why horse is slaughtered. It's not najis. It's not impure. That's right? Tayyib. A dog that is slaughtered. Impure. A pig that slaughtered. It's impure. A rat that is slaughtered. It's impure. That's right? A lion that is slaughtered. It's impure. A lion that is shot, or a lion got a heart attack and died. He saw me, he got too scared, he died. Out of heart attack. Okay? Just imagine that. Okay? If you can. So that's a dead animal. So what I'm saying here, al-najis, mashallah, Muhammad, very well said. So the najis, the animal which is considered dead animal, najis, it is the animal that you're not allowed to eat. It doesn't matter, slaughter or not. And the animal that you're allowed to eat, but it's die without slaughtering. Unless it's a hunting. Unless it's a hunting. You deer, you shot the deer, no hunting. And basically the dog catch the duck, there is no slaughtering. That's right? You shot the duck and the fly, and you eat it. Turkey and so and so forth. The wild turkey. So here we say, I just want to make sure that you understand, we say like dead, when the Prophet mayta, فَهُوَ مَيْتَ. It means najis, you're not allowed to do. So here, the Prophet ﷺ telling them that this part of the sheep that they cut, and this part of the camel that they cut, it is mate, it is najis. You're not allowed to use it for cooking, you're not allowed to use it for lighting, candling, you're not allowed to use it at all. You're not allowed to touch it. And you should not cut it off from the animal. Because that's even torturing for the animal. And that's another thing. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا قُطِعَ, whatever cut off, that cover all part of the animals. That's right? Is that right? That cover all parts of the animal. Here there is a problem. What do you mean? The wolf of the sheep. The wool of the sheep. What do you guys think? We shave it. You see? Here is good. I give you another example. What about the hair of the goat? They shave the hair of the goat. Okay? And that hair, what happened to it? They make from that hair many things. Clothes and shirt. Who has cats at home? Okay. Omar, Muhammad, you have a cat. You put your cat in your lap. What happened? The hair of the cat all over your clothes. Shedding all the hair. Does that mean that hair is najis? Or you know what, you trim it. See? So when the Prophet would ever cut off the animal is dead. Can we take that literally and generalize that? طيب, I give you another one. What do you guys think of العاج, the ivory. Did they take from what? From the elephant. That's right. So all this became a question that al-ulama rahimahumullah said. Also, I'll give you another one. Do you guys know the musk? The perfume, the musk. Where it comes from? Nanahut. Deer. What is it? It's like a pouch. It's like ايش معنى غده? Gland. Like a gland in the skin comes out like this. It's like I don't know if you ever saw it. It's like a gland where all the sweat of the deer comes in it, and it fall off at one point in certain season. It fall off. Then they go collected it. Or they catch the deer and they cut it. That's the musk, the beautiful, that's the sweat of the. And if you get more interesting, al-ambar. Al-ambar, it's another perfume, very well known. What's al-ambar? Al-ambar is basically either the throw up or the diarrhea of the well. It basically will be floating on the surface of the ocean, and it's very expensive. If you ever smell the ambar, it comes as one of the main elements in many perfumes today. So these things are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ajib fi khalqi. Why you gross out? What's the honey? As the bees throw up. That's what it is. Okay? يقول الشاعر تقول هذا مجاج النحل حين تمدحه وإن شئت قلت ذا قيء الزنابير مدحا وذما ولم تجاوز وصفهما والحق يعتريه سوء تعبير. So here he's saying that basically the honey is nothing but the throw up of the bees. It is what it, reality it is. So going back to the point, here al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala said, whatever was cut off, the animal is like dead. If that animal, while it's dead, it's not allowed to eat. But if you cut off a fish, the dead fish is halal. That's right. The grasshopper, if you cut a leg and you let the grasshopper go, you just want to snack on a leg. Would that be haram? No, we said the grasshopper is allowed to eat. So even if it's cut it off from its life, it is not najis. So this is applied only to the animal that basically, when it's dead, it's not allowed to eat. Okay? But if it is, when it's dead, you're allowed to eat it, like the fish, it is permissible. Or the grasshopper. Because these are the only two dead animals we're allowed to eat. طيب العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى also said, if you're not allowed to use it, you're not allowed, النبي قال, it's dead, it means you're not allowed to use it. Period. In any form or any shape. Whatever is haram for you to consume, to have, you're not allowed to have. You can't say, okay, I'm going to cut off, for example, you know, a leg of, or some people do the hand. Okay, I'm going to cut it off with the hand, or like a tail of the rabbit. I'm going to cut the tail and use it as a, you know, decoration in my car. That najis. You can't do it. You know, I'm not going to kill the whole entire animal. I'm just going to cut the tail of it. And I'm going to use this tail to hang it. That's najis, not allowed to take it. Not allowed to have it in your... A skin will... Different rules. The skin, if it's dead animal, not allowed. But if it's... We'll talk about that. It's coming for the skin. If it's najis, you're not allowed to have. That's my point here. Anything that's not allowed to be used, not allowed to be possessed. Anything that is absolutely not allowed to be used... is not allowed to possess. For instance, you're not allowed to use music instrument. You're not allowed to possess. You're not allowed to use gold plates and gold spoons. You're not allowed to possess it. You don't allow to have a decoration in your, you know, dining area. Like some people, they will have these plates, gold plates and silver plates, just for decoration. Not allowed. You know what? I got a gift, a very expensive hard liquor whiskey. In this glass, magnificent glass, I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to touch it. I know it's haram, but it looks so magnificent. Haram. You're not allowed to keep it. Taib, I have, for example, the tequila shots. That's like only for haram thing. You don't possess anything that is only known for haram use, you're not allowed to possess. As long, بس شف, Ibn Qudama said, القاعدة, قال ما حرم استعماله حرم اقتناؤه. Anything you're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to possess. I said, that قاعدة is good, but it's not good enough. لا كان المفترض أن يضاف عليها قيد. ما حرم استعماله مطلقة. Which is, you cannot use in any way. That's became more accurate. Why I add this? Because I'm not allowed to use what? Gold rings. I'm not allowed to use silk, but I'm allowed to possess it. I can buy gold rings and sell it. Because it's not forbidden absolutely. In all fact, it's only forbidden for men, but it's allowed for women, for example. So ذلك لابد يضاف قيد مطلقة. Otherwise, there is many examples will not work. طيب, here, we say that the musk is an exception, العلماء رحمه الله said. And here the exception, العلماء said, like الحنابلة especially said something interesting. He said, first, the musk is collected. It fall off by itself. It fall from the deer by itself. You know, in 99% of the cases, it fall off and people just go collect it from the ground. So they said, if there is something fall off the animal by itself, it doesn't take the rules of this hadith. Like you find a horn fall off, you are allowed to take it and use it. Verse, you go, you break the horn of the deer just to hang it in your living room. That's different. So different, the teeth of that tiger fall off by itself when you picked it up. But versus you take a teeth and you pull it out, they said became najis, that teeth. According to some of the fuqaha. So the fuqaha differentiate between what fall off by itself or what? Taking it off. They said the hadith said, man qata. So he cut off. Somebody did that. Number two, al-ulama rahimahullah said, also make exception. If you're hunting, and you shot the deer, okay? And when you shot the deer with the shotgun, piece of the leg, sorry for being gory, you know, fall out. Okay? Or I shot the duck, you know, one of the wings fall off. Is that became najis? No. It's not najis. Because you're hunting and that fall off it, it's still halal. Okay? Also, al-ulama rahimullah said, and that's interesting to know, there is a big debate. I'm not going to take much of your time because we have to wrap it up. But I'll give you just the bottom line. Big debate between the fuqaha on certain things in the... Also, al-ulama, all of them agree that the hair is excluded. The hair and the wool of the animal is allowed. It doesn't take the rules. Like what you said, it's not part of it. The only difference of opinion they have about the pig's hair and the dog's hair, are they najis or not? This is a different story. But anything else, the cat, anything fall off or you shave it, is not considered najis, according to the strong opinion and the majority of the fuqaha. But also ulama said, anything in your body, لا تدخله الحياة بالنماء. يعني there is no life in it. no feeling in it. Okay? It's not part really of you. And it doesn't take the rules of impurity and purity. They said like what? Hair. There is no feeling in the hair. Otherwise, cutting hair will be a problem. They said like nails. Okay? They said like what? That horn of the deer. They said like what? That tusk of the animal. That's what we call it, tusk. Also, they said like we said the nails. القرن, horn. Okay? All this, they said, it does not take the rules of najis and in-najis. Because there is no blood in it. Huh? Teeth. They said the teeth. Same thing. There is no blood inside it. So that's why even if you cut it from the animal, it will not be considered impure. There is big debate. The scholars, like 50-50 over this. Or like a very big debate. But I believe that the strong opinion that these things are not considered najis. Not considered najis, even if you cut it off in the animal. Or you find a dead animal and you take the claw of the animal. Sometimes you go to Florida, they give you crocodile's teeth. You know, is that allowed? Is it najis or not najis? You know? Or they give you like a tail of a snake. They cut the rattlesnake, you know, the tail of it. This is like a bone. It's a bone. The Malikis consider the bone najis. They say because the bone inside it, you will find the blood run through it. And, you know, they have their own basically justification for it. For the, you know, the tusk of the ivory of the elephant, the Hanabila will consider it najis. Shafi'iyya consider it najis. From the Hanafi, Muhammad ibn Hassan Hanafi considered najis, and this is not allowed to be utilized. The Hanafi, the majority of the Hanafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, they said it is tahir because there is no life in it. The Maliki said, because Maliki allowed eating food, the Maliki believe it's allowed to eat elephant. Elephant for them, halal to eat. You know how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Very good. That's an African say. One bite at a time. Okay. So, for Maliki, it's allowed to eat elephant. So they said, if the elephant slaughtered, I just cannot imagine how you would slaughter an animal. No. But that's what they said. If it's slaughtered or hunted, basically, in this case, you're allowed to take it. But if it's not just a dead animal, you find it dead in the... in the forest, you're not allowed to touch it because it is najis for the Malikis. So I hope this is give you an idea. Just I want to end up with something I would assume you have a question about. Sheikh, so what's cut from the person, take the same ruling of that person's dead. Like, what about human being? What you cut from the human being, would it take the same rules of the human being when he is dead? We say, yes. When you are dead, you are not najis, you are pure. That's why you can touch the dead person. The dead person is pure. According to the majority of the Muslim fuqaha, it is pure. Only the Hanafi, only Hanafis, they have very complicated way of looking at the dead body of a human being. They said the human being when he died, if he's a shaheed, he's pure. If you touch the dead body after it washed, it's pure. But before washing the body, it's najis. And that's applied to doctors and stuff like that if they deal with it. According to the Hanafi, but the Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanafi, the Hanbali, and many Hanafi as well will not agree with that. Would said the human being when he is alive or dead is pure. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Mu'minu la yanjus. the mu'min will not be impure. Huh? Al-mu'min. That's the same thing, same meaning. Al-mu'min la yanjus. Okay? La, Muslim, mu'min here, it means the same. No, it doesn't mean that. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ meant. Any human being is not najis. Some fuqaha said that the mushrik body is najis because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ najas. But this najasa is not a materialistic najasa. Absolutely, because the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shake hand and sit and eat and, you know, and we, that's not what it is. But the hadith is just referring to the mu'min just as an honoring, but it applies to any human being. Any human being is honored. The body of human being is not najis, dead or alive. And I'm saying this, why? Because you have the Shafi'iyya especially, have a problem with the human hair. When you cut human hair, the Shafi'is will say the human hair is najis. When you cut it off, it became najis. So some Shafi'iyya said that, but the majority of the fuqaha said it's not, so don't worry about that. Just to make it simple for you. So here we say the human beings, because when he's dead, he's pure, so whatever cut from him is pure. Your nails, your hair, you know. Let's say somebody, he basically, Allah forbid, cut legs or finger or anything like that. Touching it will not be impure. Doctor who amputate you, this part, if he touch it, is not considered impurity. Then you need to wash yourself from it. And we said about the task of the elephant. One of the proof that the ulama used, actually, like Sheikh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, to say that it's not najis, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his comb, when he fixed his hair, he used to comb his hair with what? Misht min aj. His comb was made from the same materials, the ivory, basically. And also some others said he used to do his hair with a comb made from the horn of the deer. Okay, so yufli biha sha'ru sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But again, there is like a lot of debate over those issues. But I hope you have a good idea right now. Just make sure that any animals other than the solid thing that we talk about, you avoid using it if it's taken away from the animal. And if even these issues like this, the teeth and you know, the most common thing that I see, it's clearly in haram area, is the rabbit tail that they take. Some tails, they take it from the certain animals. The whole claw of an animal, I see in this, they sell that. They cut it off the animal and they sell it. That's not allowed. That's najis. You're not allowed to do it. Know that the skin, it's going to come. There is a whole talk about the skin and dyeing the skin, and is that will purify it or not? We'll talk about that, inshallah. Next chapter will be, now we'll finish with all the najasat and stuff. Next chapter will be talking about the utensils and what is allowed and what's not allowed, what's permissible and what's not permissible. Inshallah. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Next class will be after Isha, after Maghrib, inshallah. Yes, you have a question. Did I answer your question?